Welcome to Get Gig Ready.
Used to hope that you catch the bus that I was on.
If you're a music maker, emerging or early in your career, or even a veteran looking to brush up on the basics, we're here to get you close to some amazing local talent to help you amp up your skills. Over this series, we're going to be talking with musicians, managers, radio hosts, and other industry insiders to get in tune on what's going on in the industry and how you can get the most out of the music you're making. Joining us today is Dobby, a rapper, musician, speaker, and proud Aboriginal Filipino member of the Marawari Republic. We'll be speaking about his music, community outreach, and how to use music to advocate for what matters to you. Our feature artist this week is Rotorus with his track Through the Window, which you're hearing right now.
Hey, this is Rotorus. I'm a rapper and producer, and this is my song Through the Window, featuring the super talented Ziadala.
Stick around until the end of the show to hear the full track as well as more from Rotorus. Get Gig Ready is presented by City of Ryde, Lane Cove Council, the Live Music Office, Music New South Wales, and 2SER, with support from Macquarie University. Let's dive in to Get Gig Ready. So, Dobby, with family ties to out in Brewarrina, which most of us would consider, I guess, regional New South Wales, do you think that there's much of a barrier for regional musicians getting in to the city music scene?
Yeah, well, I should mention, actually, because that's a misunderstanding from a lot of people. So my family is from Brewarrina, but I grew up in Wollongong, and born and raised in Wollongong, but my grandmother and my dad, you know, was sort of raised there and back and forth between Brewarrina and, well, if we want to get specific, sort of Shell Harbour, you know, Shell Harbour represent. Yeah. But yeah, still, you know, I would regard that not regional, but definitely much smaller than Sydney. And I always had Sydney as a place that I looked up to in terms of all the studying opportunities, all the work opportunities, networking opportunities were all in Sydney. So I knew from the start that I wanted to move there, you know?
Yeah. So how early did you actually get into picking music as a potential career from yourself? Was it always music was your path in life, or was there something else that kind of kicked you into it and made you consider it as, you know, your path?
I've always been really, really, you know, in love with music from the time my mom forced me to, she strongly encouraged me to do piano lessons at age 7. But you know, luckily fell in love with it eventually. At the time I hated it, you know, because I'm a little kid and but you know, I always had this love for piano, and then when I discovered hip hop, it was, you know, game over. Like, that was my passion, my love, and I lived that every day, you know. At the time, you don't know if music is really a career. More and more kids nowadays are realizing you can make money from it, you can make a living from it. But even as recent as when I was young, that was definitely taboo, you know. I made music and hid it from my mom and dad. There was a conversation about violence in Warilla in my area, and it came up in conversation on ABC radio, and someone submitted my song in a bad way. They said this was, you know, it was very interesting. And I was called up on ABC radio to talk about it. And as a 14-year-old, I was trying to defend myself, saying, I'm not in a gang. I'm not a violent person. I'm just like documenting my life. And that's how my dad found out that I rap, because he heard it on the radio.
How did ABC radio get in touch with 14-year-old you? Whose idea was that?
I know, it's a bizarre story. Like, I just remember one morning, my friend texted me and said, hey, your song just got played on ABC Illawarra. And I'm like, what? And they said, you know, if you're listening, Dobby, call in. And I thought I was going to be famous. Hey, I was like, this is my break. But then they were like, you're a violent person. Like, you know, it is what it is. But
you know, the standard story around rap. I mean, a lot of musicians over in the United States where hip hop kind of first rose to popularity had a very similar experience in talking about the difficulties of living in their circumstance. And that was often taken out of context by the press over there as well. Do you think that that is a general barrier for hip hop musicians all over the world? Or do you think that it's just a particular niche of some of the communities that rap has come from?
That's a mad question, man. I think it used to be, and it still has its barriers, but as we move on, you know, people are starting to realize the educational benefits, the benefits in pedagogy overall for hip hop, the cultural aspect of it, you know, especially in Aboriginal culture, how it actually fits in more seamlessly, more naturally than people realize. And then, you know, you look at more generally like the political aspect of it as well. Rappers are activists almost inherently nowadays. There is so much potential for change and education and economic benefit of especially Black and communities of color.
I guess thinking about it in that way, it makes sense that the spoken word style of rap lends itself to feeling like a debate, feeling like telling a story. It's almost like putting speeches, putting your politics to music is a natural pairing when you put it like that.
Definitely. And, you know, I'm not being biased, but I think that's why I really favor hip hop, not over other styles, but this is why I feel like.
Yeah, it's why you feel at home.
Exactly. And I think it's the future, you know. Mm. Especially when we can talk to these issues and expressions of culture and identity so directly in this way.
Yeah. So when it comes to being an Aboriginal First Nations musician, when it comes to being a representative for that culture, what is the importance of having those voices in our music industry? What is the importance of getting that representation through?
Yeah, in its most basic form, it means that young, you know, Black and brown folks of color, when they watch other people who look like them or talk like them or come from the same environments as them on their TV screens, on their phone screens, that they can say, oh, okay, that's another avenue I haven't thought of, or I can do that, you know? And it does sound a little cliche, but it is true because it's real. It's a real thing. When you see someone who you see yourself in, the path is set. It's concrete, you know? So I definitely believe in that. So at its most basic form, representation really empowers and strengthens community mentality. Like, and I think that's something that everyone can celebrate, Black, white, whoever, whatever.
I think that's a really good point, particularly when it comes to thinking about that moment you mentioned earlier in the show where you first discovered hip hop and were like, that's it, I'm sold, this is what I'm doing. Even if it is other industries, even if it's a representative in the technology industry, for example, having that representative that inspires you to approach that career, to take that life path, that's something that everyone should have, whatever form it ends up taking.
Yes, absolutely. You know, yeah, I think it's important, and it's something that needs to be part of the conversation. So constantly like thinking of that at the forefront of my mind, you know.
For you as a musician, you're a rapper and a drummer, you say. And I feel like when we look at a lot of modern musicians, there are all of these multi-talented individuals such as yourself who've taken on all of these different roles that previously would have just been single members of the band. Do you think that being a musician in the modern day, it's necessary to be as multi-skilled as some individuals like yourself are?
I wouldn't say it's necessary. From my perspective, I think it's more fun this way because I don't know, like, being a drummer and being a pianist has definitely helped improve my musicality and what I want to hear musically. And it's just been more fun that way. I think of people like Kanye, Anderson .Paak is probably the best example. These musicians who are drummers, singers, and rappers, you can look at performing, recording, producing in a holistic way. And I think that's just, it just means it's more fun. Although I think fans and listeners are really looking for something kind of like that now. You know, that's the reason why Anderson .Paak is so popular, and people like, say, Billie Eilish in Melbourne, and all these bands who are like incredible funk and soul bands who both sing and dance and play the keys. And I think it's the coolest thing ever, to be honest. And also, I just realized I said Billie Eilish before. I meant Billy Rose, not Billie Eilish. I was like, wait a minute.
I was a little confused about that, but I wasn't going to call you on it. So when it comes to being a musician in the modern day and making a living, I think a lot of musicians come into it thinking like, oh, good, I can't make a living. You know, the industry's so closed off and streaming means that we make nothing from our sales. But you seemed so affirmative about the fact that you can make a living as a musician in the modern day. What do you think is the strength of the industry at the moment that would allow local musicians to actually turn their passion into a career?
I'm definitely, you know, by no means a veteran or anything at all, but what I am seeing is just a lot of opportunities to perform. I can't tell yet, but I feel like there is a trend in you know, venues are starting to really encourage live music weekly, especially in Sydney. And then things like King Street Crawl and Newtown Festival are becoming just widely adored, and they have been adored for so long. But I don't know. I just feel like there's some sort of like resurgence of live music, especially in Sydney. Melbourne, it's always had that, but you know, and to top it off, like, because our community, speaking generally, are very supportive people and everyone wants to collaborate. And because of that, there are more opportunities. So if anything, it's probably the best time to be a musician now, to just enjoy that aspect as well as the gig opportunities.
Yeah. And I think also, despite the frustrations that some people may feel with social media, because it's so much easier to get in touch with particularly local bands who have similar interests, passions, and sounds to you, it's a lot easier to network and find a scene that you can connect with.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as I'm thinking about that now, there's multiple sort of shifts in the paradigms that are happening simultaneously. Like, you know, like Spotify playlisting is definitely becoming a very big aspect of what, you know, you need to aim for to quote unquote make it, but it's not the be all and end all. And I think that's pretty amazing as well.
And I know you tend to do a lot of work when it comes to local community functions, be it NIDOC celebrations, making workshops for primary and high school students. Do you think that musicians should be approaching those opportunities even before they make it per se? Do you think that there's something valuable to be had in spreading music in a more technical, educational way?
Yeah. It grounds you. I really love, you know, working, like doing workshops and working in communities, because it helps you keep your music grounded and understanding, you know, what your music can do on whatever, a festival or a Spotify listenership, but also what the impact is on, you know, primary school kids, high school kids. And I think that keeps you on your toes, and it helps you become more creative to see how you can appeal and just educate and learn how to foster and facilitate talent.
Do you think that there's more that can be done to help bring workshops and community events like that to more regional communities to help inspire them in the same way?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, in this particular case, I would love to see more Black-owned workshop facilitators and groups coming in. Brewarrina is a mad, beautiful community. And what happens is a lot of good, you know, well-intentioned people will come through the community and provide and talk about hip-hop education. And that's dope. And I love that. But what happens is when they don't come, because it's once a year or something like that, you know, like what is required to really, like I said, like to foster that talent, it needs to be regular and it needs to be thorough, and it requires knowing the community rather than working in the community. So it's, I would love to see more programs coming in through communities like that. And then, you know, another thing is, damn, like, again, there are some talented cats out, especially out in Bourke. The stuff that I've seen, man, more opportunities to get them to Sydney, or even bringing the studio to them, you know, and having that happen. Like, this is, I think that's where it's at.
Do you think then that Sydney musicians should be looking at, rather than just hitting the big cities, if they say go on tour around the country, should be looking to do more in regional areas?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the benefits as well as a musician who tours rurally, again, it grounds you. There's money to be made in being able to go to these places, and it's more rewarding as a musician. I think, you know, obviously the main cities are a target for every musician to play in Brizzy, to play in Melbourne. But of course, like, I think a lot of love needs to be given to these rural communities and all of that, because we can't forget about that as well. And I think that is happening. I have heard friends who are saying we want to take regional, like, what do you call it? Yeah, regional tours. So I think that is definitely an important aspect. And there is a lot of benefits to it as well.
Yeah. And then for you as a solo musician performing as Dobby, as opposed to being a member of Jackie Brown Jr., how do you compare the experiences on the industry side and trying to make a living off the music in the two separate fields? Do you think that people need to have a different approach if they are a solo musician as opposed to working in a band?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be able to, I've got a wonderful team around Dobby, which is really great. You know, my manager, Vivian Abler, who is the founder of 4E Sydney, this a hip hop festival in Bankstown. And so we really work well together. And it's definitely like a team effort. You know, it's a different role that I take in Jackie Brown Jr. I'm a little bit more in the back seat because the work is more spread across the five of us. It's something I'm still trying to figure out. And like, it's hard to tell when you're in it, of course, but we've played around with different strategies, whether it be, you know, searching for management or searching for PR and trying to figure out the best way to go about that. And I'm really blessed to be in a position where I can see music, live music, especially how we operate in this community in two different genres. Because hip hop is not a very different scene, but it feels like a different game sometimes.
I think it's definitely true. Even just looking at kind of Australia's reputation for music, there's an unfortunate silence, I think, in Australian hip hop music overseas. There's not as many hip hop artists that have made it as, say, like the indie rock. And it's interesting, I guess, you know, they are very similar and have a lot of ties through musicians like yourself. But I think that, I mean, me personally, I'd love to see more Aussie hip hop breakout of the Australian bubble.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny, like, I think that's already happening in a big way, you know, because I looked at people like Kid Laroi, who's just killing it out there, you know, way bigger than I think anyone could have conceived.
For sure.
And all the best to that brother. Like, he's going to, it's an interesting time for him to say the least. And then you look at people like Kaid and Mojo as well. So I think it's a good time. And especially in terms of culture, Aboriginality, that seems to have been a very interesting aspect for when we played overseas last year. When we went to Germany, like they love Australians, period, right? But the whole Aboriginal aspect of it, it was, I don't know, I had a lot of questions and you know, I wore the Aboriginal flag and they cheered on. I was very welcomed there. It was beautiful.
And it's great to see those strides being made as well. Now, another question that I had in there was, you mentioned that you have a great management team around you. And I think that there is so much to be said for a great management team. But for someone like yourself, who has such a strong voice in terms of the issues you speak about in your music, how much do you value being able to keep that independence, keep that voice, even if you might have management kind of occasionally tempering you? Because there's this reputation that management will just turn you into corporate schlock. You know, how do you find and work with a good team?
Yeah. You know, like I think Viv and I were really lucky. We're really, really lucky because we work so well together and we're on the same page. Like, that's what I'm so grateful for, because not once have I ever felt like I was creatively stilted. Every conversation that I've ever had, every idea that I've ever thrown to Viv to say, hey, what about this? She's like, yeah, that's dope. Write that down. even I remember the when I was talking to her about this album idea that I have for Marshmallow, and I told her the whole story behind it. And I at the time, because it was so early on and I wasn't too confident about it. And she just said, yep, great. And then we started writing grants for it like the next day. And so I'm lucky to have someone who believes so much in my vision. The only time it's ever felt like, okay, management's definitely stepping in is obviously like when things will come out. Yeah. I'm a very impatient person. So I'm like, all right, let's drop it next week.
Particularly when you mentioned that you started writing grants straight away, I think that's the peak of what management, at least to me, should be. It's about helping you actually get things done.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. Absolutely agreed. You know, at the start of working together, we went through the very, very, you know, the foundational basics of what who I am as this musician, you know, in terms of, you know, she even said like, you're an avatar. What does your avatar look like? What is it? You know, even, you know, pipe dreams, like no matter how silly or how ridiculous it may seem, who do you want to work with? Where do you want to perform? And what do you want to do with your career? And have that as the end goal and just see what steps it takes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how important do you see those goals? Are there anything that you, you know, maybe brought up in that discussion that you look back on now and like, oh, that's kind of cringe. I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, how much have you kind of stuck to those guns and the initial decisions you may have made?
It's funny. Like, I definitely have those goals in my head. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it's nice to have that there so that whether I know it or not, I'm in that direction. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, I had in this list of dream goals is to work with Pharrell Williams. That would be incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Chances of that happening, I don't know. Like, it's probably very slim. I have no idea. But thinking about that in my head is making me start to think, well, what is my production sounding like? And so I'm starting to, like, research him and, like, trying to I'm looking at quotes that he's saying and making my beats sound a little bit more like of a nod to Pharrell. So without even knowing it, I'm kind of already doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a great point as well there, you know, the classic good artists borrow, great artists steal or whatever. Mm. I think that there's something very important to be said for, you know, actually being open and using your inspirations to your advantage. And I think that definitely comes through in your music with tastes like that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And then also the other thing that I found interesting is talking about the grants. Was there anything on the business side of music that I guess surprised you when it came to starting to deal with a proper management team? Is there anything that you wish you'd been aware of before you got into music as a career?
You know, when you asked me that question, it reminds me of when we started working together, Viv and I. Before we worked together, I had more of a conceptual idea filled with metaphors of what it is to like make it, quote unquote. And I think that actually is probably ringing true with a lot of other musicians growing up at the same age as me. What Viv did for me was she said, these are the steps. This is what you need to do. And it was so concrete. It was so clear. It was so grounded in practicality that it actually scared me. I was like, oh, this is what it takes. And so that's what I realized. It's not necessarily what I wish I knew, but that's what I definitely appreciated when I started to observe that, is that there are actual grounded steps that you need to take to make that stuff happen.
Yeah. And I think particularly looking back on yourself saying, you know, being a bit of the SoundCloud rapper coming from the modern day of just put it out. Mm. Given how accessible and how easy it is to just put music out there, do you think that there should be more of a strategy to that? Or at least when you're first getting started, is that just the go, just make it and publish it?
I think it depends on you, what you want out of it is what I've learned. You know, if this is more of a hobby for you, if this really makes you feel good, if you want nothing more than to just make it and let it go, that is absolutely fine. You know, there are plenty of artists who get, you know, they make happy lives out of that practice, and that's great. But if you want more reach, it does take a bit more of a drip feed approach. You know, you've got to sort of dangle this carrot in front of people and say, here's one single, and then promote it, talk about it in different ways. And then the next one, and then have a music video for that, even like promoting it, you know, with other artists and collaborating with other. So there's so many different strategies if you do want to take that route. It all depends on what you want out of this music.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I think, I mean, at least the way that I hear you talk about that sounds like the way that labels talk about the decisions that they make. And it's really interesting to hear that you've internalized those and that it's, you know, become part of the way that you think about your art. Is that something that you kind of see, that the business side is attached to the art, or do you try and separate the two of them when you can?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because when I was saying that, I was also thinking as well, you know, what's also important is to maintain that the music is not compromised as well, right? So these are business, you know, strategies and how to market it and get it out in industry and get it to specific people that you want to target. But the music itself should not be compromised. That is your heart, you know, and I can't remember who said it or where I've heard it, but it's like you make music for your friends. I think about what the reaction's going to be. How do I want people to feel about this? And I'm not thinking everyone. I'm thinking specific people. Like, how does my good friend Nat from Wollongong think about if I were to write this and show it to her? Like, specific, you know, visions.
And I guess going back to the friend that you said told you that your song was on ABC radio, it's connecting with your friends is what kind of allows those moments to happen, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Definitely.
The one thing I did want to unpack into that I found interesting is when it comes to like putting yourself and your voice in your music and having it be the most honest representation of you, I think of discussions that I've had with other musicians about getting over that barrier of putting themselves in their lyrics, and that kind of it can be difficult to let yourself feel exposed by putting yourself so honestly in your music. Is there anything that you'd say that kind of helped you get over that barrier, or you think that is important to consider when you're putting yourself directly into the songs you're writing?
Two things actually to that. One, listen to more hip hop, because they're like that is the, you know, the sole practice of hip hop is representing who you are and where you're from. Like, hip hop is about the real. I've been thinking a lot about how you can listen to a song, doesn't matter if it's your song or someone else's song, again for the first time, and trying to like imagine what that would have felt like, and then just thinking, what does my song sound like for the first time? And that might kind of expose this idea from a different angle. Like,
yeah,
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it sounds weird to you because you're listening to your own story and you know it. Try and imagine listening to that song for the first time in someone else's shoes. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic point and a great thing to leave off on. So, Dobby, thank you so much for joining us here on Get Gig Ready this week.
No worries, brother. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for tuning in to the first episode of Get Gig Ready. Let's throw it over now to Rotorus with our feature track for this week.
Hey, this is Rotorus. I'm a rapper and producer, and this is my song, Through the Window, featuring the super talented Ziadala. The song came about when Ziadala hit me up about wanting to collab. We ended up making this boom bap style track about some of our experiences growing up. So we cut the track, and we even ended up filming a little video clip on the bus near Ride and Meadowbank. So yeah, so we hope you enjoy our track, Through the Window.
Used to hope that you catch the bus that I was on, so I would get up when the dew glistened on the lawn. You lit up the bus like a 1,000-watt light bulb, and my chest will get super tense like a tightrope. I snuck glances of you through that little window, cause my self-esteem was gushing down a sinkhole. Man, back then I was skinny like a stencil. Would it really work when you mix steak with lentil? In a curry, you were lit like some durries. My vision will be blurry from the scale down. My reed would flow down my cheekbones. Bones, bones, play you like some bass tone. Tone, tone. Your skin was so radiant and face understanding. I could see us walking through life with hand in hand. And I'd fantasize about how I'd say hi. By then you'd be gone and not quietly sigh.
See folks that walk through the window, all that glitters isn't really made of tinsel. As you walk through the roads in your mental, I didn't say what I meant to. See folks that walk through the window, all that glitters isn't really made of tinsel. As you walk through the roads in your mental, I didn't say what I meant to. This is crazy, maybe don't know what to say. Feels like a lifetime of us, but it was just a day. One glance, did I meet you in a past life? The seed is planted, you sure know how to act right. I'm alive and kicking at the back of the bus here, wishing you were more than stars that glistens in the sky. You caught my eye, I caught your vibe. Deep as sea fish on the line, I got you. Tapping off my Opal card like I got proof. Headphones on, I wonder what you're listening to. I'm thinking that you had me when I thought I had you. Can I have you? Supernova, heart explosions take me over. See folks that walk through the window, all that glitters isn't really made of tinsel. As you walk through the roads in your mental, I didn't say what I meant to. See folks that walk through the window, all that glitters isn't really made of tinsel. As you walk through the roads in your mental, I didn't say what I meant to.
Hey, this is Rotorus. And you just heard my track, Through the Window, featuring Ziadala. And you've been listening to us on Get Gig Ready.
Even 10 minutes is a long time to be away from you.
Thank you so much to Rotorus for providing us with Through the Window as our feature track this week on Get Gig Ready. We'll be back next week speaking with Okino-san. Get Gig Ready is presented by City of Ryde, Lane Cove Council, the Live Music Office, Music New South Wales, and 2SER, with support from Macquarie University. You can catch Get Gig Ready on all of your favorite podcast platforms, and do leave us a rating. It helps us out a lot. My name is Felix Shannon. I'll see you next time.